to hold migrant families in detention for the entire duration of their immigration proceedings. Acting Homeland Security Chief Kevin McAleenan saying the current standards incentivize illegal entry. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Democrats, including many of those running for the White House, are giving President Trump some heat after he questioned how any Jewish person would ever vote for a Democrat. Trump making the controversial remark yesterday as he was appearing with the Romanian president at the White House.
I think any Jewish people that vote for a Democrat, I think it shows either a total lack of knowledge or great disloyalty.
Several Jewish organizations are accusing the president of using Jewish people as a political football. The third named storm of the year's hurricane season in the Atlantic has formed as Tropical Storm Chantal is about 485 miles southeast of Nova Scotia. There is no threat to land, though. Forecasters say the storm will stay out to sea. Uber says it's building a new business hub in the Dallas area. And this is USA Radio News.
America's built and based on liberties and freedoms. Liberty HealthShare brings that to healthcare. The liberty of choosing your own doctor. The liberty of choosing your own hospital. Liberty HealthShare makes healthcare affordable to millions of Americans. Ignite your liberty. Sharing plans starting at $199 for a single, $399 for a couple, and no matter how big the family, only $529. That's $529 for the entire family. To learn how you can save, go to lightyourliberty.com. That's lightyourliberty.com.
Do not wash your raw chicken. Yes, that's the word from a new Department of Agriculture report that says rinsing raw chicken to remove slimy film on it could end up splattering bacteria onto other surfaces or food. USDA Undersecretary for Food Safety, Dr. Mindy Brashear, says it's easy to spread bacteria in the kitchen.
How many times are you peeling a vegetable, you drop it in the sink, and you just pick it up and go on, and so at that point you've cross-contaminated your vegetables.
She says scientists have monitored people who rinse their meat in the kitchen and found that 30% of them had their salads end up contaminated. A veteran supermodel and a short-lived White House spokesman, among other people, have something in common now.
Dance with me.
Christy Brinkley and Sean Spicer will be among those testing out their dancing skills as part of the new cast of ABC's Dancing with the Stars. The 12 new contestants for season 28 revealed on Good Morning America. Others among those 12 include Bachelorette Hannah Brown, Dawson's Creek star James Vanderbeek, former Baltimore Raven Ray Lewis, former NBA player Lamar Odom, and the Supremes singer Mary Wilson. The new season premieres on September 16th on ABC. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
The traffic is stuck.
Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Join me, your host, Mark LaRose, every Wednesday at 1 p.m. right here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio. I'll be discussing important health and fitness subjects, featuring guests and success stories. We are here to help motivate you. It's a beautiful day.
The weather for today. Showers and thunderstorms likely. Mainly after 3 p.m., some storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain. The highs for today will be 90. Tonight, showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly before 3 a.m. And the temperature tonight will be around 70. Thursday, chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly after 3 p.m., with the temperature being around 89. Thursday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms again, with the temperature being around, it doesn't say, oh, there it is, 65. Friday, more showers and thunderstorms with a high near 79. Going the wrong way. So anyway, I believe we're going to have a nice weekend, and it is currently cloudy and 81.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Well, hi. So you started with an empty chair. So that's okay. Hopefully it did. I got that switched. My name is Ruth Altamura Roll. I am your host for Counselor's Chat. And I bring you Counselor's Chat every week, which is to educate and promote good mental health, educate about mental health, and help remove the stigma around getting into some counseling. So my topic today, I'm having some issues here with the microphone. There we go. today is hate versus mental illness. Now, many of you know I don't usually use the term mental illness. I think that in and of itself puts a stigma on people who are struggling with depression or anxiety, post-traumatic stress, addictions, just need some couples counseling adjustments, learning communication skills, learning how to be more productive in life. As a counselor, I was taught that I counsel, I confront, and I coach. And I think that's, you know, even though we have coaches that are out there, coaches are not supposed to counsel. They may be a little confrontive at times, but they're not supposed to counsel. I have my license. I have my master's degree. I'm licensed to counsel in the state of New Jersey. That means that I needed to be proficient in 9 areas of therapy and counseling. It means that I have to have insurance for malpractice. I can't practice without doing that. So it's an important thing. But yes, coaching is part of what counselors do. And so as a coach in that role, I'm going to say if I was in that role, I don't like, and just even as a counselor, I don't like to use the word illness. Because many, many people are not mentally ill. They may be dysfunctioning in their lives. They may have issues that are based in belief systems that aren't working for them, that are causing anxiety or depression. They may have had some traumatic events in their lives that they need to heal from, but that doesn't mean that they are necessarily ill. Now, we do have personality disorders that cause people to be really dangerous sometimes. The antisocial personality disorder, paranoid schizophrenic disorders, those types of things can be dangerous. But someone who is depressed isn't necessarily dangerous. And I really wanted to talk about this issue that we have around, that's come up lately because of mass shootings. And that our president is saying mental illness and hate. So people who do not have depression or anxiety or post-traumatic stress don't necessarily hate. And I think that putting that stigma on people who are seeking out counseling is not a good message, because they may not seek out counseling out of fear of being labeled dangerous. So hate. Hate is a really powerful feeling. So I educate my clients all the time that we have four basic feelings: sad, mad, glad, and afraid. Sometimes people say disgusted makes a fifth group, but I do believe that disgusted is sort of a combination of mad, sad, it's kind of a combination feeling. It comes with I don't like. I don't like is oftentimes, again, I'm sad about it and I'm angry about it. But the feeling of hate is at the top of the spectrum of mad. So I think of it in terms of like volume. You know what? That guy just kind of ticked me off a little bit. Where, you know, I'm really getting kind of angry. Now I'm getting mad here. You know, I'm beginning to feel some rage. I hate. Okay. It's all within mad. Hate is not necessarily a bad feeling. It is just a feeling. It is what we do with the feeling. So looking it up, it's an intense or passionate dislike for someone, for something, for a belief system. Hate may include having feelings of revenge, loathing, detestation, distaste, abhorrence, resentment, aversion, hostility, ill will, ill feelings. Just looking it up. Okay? So, hating something does not necessarily equate to killing it or a person. But people can, their hate can go on and on and on. They feed it. They feed the hate. It doesn't sound like it's a mentally healthy thing to do. It's not. But someone who is possessed by hate does not necessarily mean that they're filled with anxiety. It doesn't necessarily mean that they are depressed. It doesn't necessarily mean that they have obsessive compulsive disorder. They may be paranoid. They may have an antisocial personality disorder, which I really want to clear up. It doesn't mean that I want to stay away from people. People who are antisocial tend to be very charismatic at times, can be very attractive, and cruel. The law doesn't apply to them. Social mores don't apply to them. They don't have any sense of empathy. Oftentimes, you could see it developing in children. They like to torture animals, pull wings off of flies. You know, they get enjoyment out of that kind of thing. Those are little signs that you may, you know, lack of empathy. They can be signs. I'm not saying it's an exact, but it's just a little red flag. And I'm going to say chances are people who are so filled with hate are not necessarily people who have antisocial personality disorders. Now, hate can have some basis in fear. I'm so afraid of that person. Now, fear and anxiety, they are linked. But having an anxiety disorder does not equate someone who is going to kill someone. I'm really concerned that equating mental illness and mental health issues and hate really takes a segment of our population, and I'm going to say relatively 20% of our population struggle with a mental health issue, and it puts them in a category to be feared. If we are going to fear people with mental health issues, and you are sitting in your office, and you will look around and you say, well, there's 10 people here. Two of those people, chances are struggling with anxiety or depression or an addiction. Maybe have some compulsive issues. Maybe have some post-traumatic stress issues. Maybe grew up in an alcoholic home. Maybe are in recovery from addiction themselves. Maybe go home and get drunk. I don't know. But that doesn't mean that they are dangerous people. It means they are dysfunctional people. Dysfunctional people are not dangerous. There really isn't any, what's the word I'm looking for, red flag specifically. Mental illness, having a mental disorder or a psychiatric disorder, can show itself in behavior, distress, impairment in personal functioning. It's usually defined by how a person behaves, feels, perceives, and thinks. People can be agitated and depressed. That's a symptom of depression, being agitated and irritable. Having a panic attack is part of anxiety. However, that doesn't necessarily mean, I'm going to keep saying that, that you can go out and start killing people. There's two things that I look at as a counselor. If someone has been on medication and the medication isn't working, and they've tried three or four different medications, they say it's just not working, and we explore their life circumstances, their childhoods, their relationships, their self-esteem, their social functioning, begin to discover where there may have been trauma, heartbreak, disappointment, low or no self-esteem, we may begin to say that we have a situational issue versus a biological issue. So yes, people can become, in other words, if I continue to be anxious because of a post-traumatic stress or an acute stress issue, I may over time develop chemical changes in my brain where I am now chemically anxious. I do find that because we have something called neuroplasticity, you've heard me talk about that, our brain can shift. Our brain is pliable and it's plastic. Okay, so it's, you know, you think of, and I think silly putty is probably, some of you don't know what silly putty is, but silly putty is probably a good description of our brain. It's soft, like silly putty. It's soft. And it's changeable. We could change it. We could create new pathways in our brain. We can create new ways of neurons speaking to each other, developing stronger chemical interactions in our brain through practice and behavioral changes. That's cognitive behavioral therapy. Basically, when I change the way I think and I change the way I behave, the consequence, the outcome is going to be different. So sometimes people find they don't need medication, and I believe personally we over-medicate. It's not the first thing I suggest to my clients. But the thing is that yes, sometimes people really do need medication because their brains are just not making the right chemicals. There is a biological issue going on, and it's important. So I never discourage people from seeking out medication. I'm saying that sometimes it really isn't necessary. It's about being patient, changing lifestyles. Am I exercising? Am I eating healthy? Am I getting enough sleep? Am I doing the things? Am I practicing thinking differently? It can make a huge difference. So, it's part of why I don't call it mental illness. Because I think a lot of people, like my nephew the other couple of weeks ago, they were over our over my house, and he has some he's on the a spectrum. He's got a little bit of autism and some attention deficit, and he says, "Oh yeah, people say I'm mentally ill." He's not mentally ill. He's not. He functions extremely well. He's not possessed with anger and hatred. Very different. So mental health, just looking some things up here, involves functioning in daily activities. So being productive, having healthy relationships, an ability to adapt to changes, and coping with adversity. That's mental health. I say a mental health issue rather than mental illness because I don't like the stigma on that. But when we have someone who is struggling with mental health issues, that there is a disorder of thinking, and you can have significant changes in your thinking and in your motion and in your behavior. So now I'm depressed. I don't want to get out of bed. I don't really get dressed. I'm not bathing. I haven't brushed my teeth. I don't want to eat anything, or I'm just eating all the time. I'm not sleeping, or I'm sleeping a lot. I'm really irritable. I don't want to go to work. I'm depressed. I'm sad, crying maybe even. It causes problems in our ability to function in work, in our social activities, with our families. Same thing with anxiety. Does the same thing. It's not hate. You don't hear anything in there about loathing, detesting, despising, revulsion towards, aversion, hostility. Does it mean that people don't combine the two? Sure, sometimes it does happen. Thinking about suicide. Suicide is where the pain is so great and I hate that I can't do anything about it. I can't stand it. I don't know how to get out of this. I don't know how to relieve the pain. So oftentimes it is the pain that causes suicide, not the self-hatred. The pain is so intense. The emotional pain is so intense. Someone who commits suicide doesn't always kill other people. Now, we just found, I just heard on the news, these two guys up in Canada, they committed suicide. They found them dead in the woods. And they had killed an American, her Australian boyfriend, and a professor stole his car. Chances are, paranoid schizophrenic. Chances are they may have had some antisocial personality disorders. Again, it's above me. I think it's going to be fine. I don't know. Let's see. This is an antisocial personality. Let's see what happens when we blow somebody up with a gun. Wouldn't that be funny? Now, you see, there is also no empathy in that. I need to take a little commercial break. I'm going to come back and talk a little bit about some studies that were done on mass shootings and mental illness. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for Counselor's Chat. I will be right back.
Folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
I'm going to be playing a song here. Let's see if I can get that up. It's from the South Pacific, the show, Broadway show, from 1979. 58. And I just think it's an important thing to listen to on this, on my topic today. You've got to be carefully taught. Let's hope you all can hear it. So, you've got to be carefully taught to hate. I think that's it's a very interesting song. And I think that it is appropriate to the situation, of today. We are taught to fear other people. We are taught to hate other people. We are taught to hate their ideologies. We are taught to hate their politics and fear it. And the consequence of this is dangerous. You know, as a counselor, I have been taught to accept people for where they are when they come into my office, to listen to what is going on in their world, to listen for the dysfunction, the depression, the pain, the anxiety, the trauma, and help them work through it, so they're not filled with the anxiety, the depression, so we resolve it. And we do. We resolve it. My clients don't stay permanently. They stay, they do the work, they move on and get on with their lives. I just want to make sure that I say this. This is from an article that that is on psychiatryonline.org. It's called Mass Shootings and Mental Illness by James Knoll, the fourth MD, and George Annis, MD, also. So these are two people that did a study, and they wrote on mass shootings and mental illness. So I want to make sure I give them the credit for their research. So, common misconceptions. Mass shootings by people with serious mental illness represents the most significant relationships between gun violence and mental illness. That's a misconception. People with serious mental illness should be considered dangerous. Misconception. Gun laws focusing on people with mental illness or a psychiatric diagnosis can effectively prevent mass shootings. Misconception. Gun laws focusing on people with mental illness or a psychiatric diagnosis are reasonable, even if they add to the stigma already associated with mental illness. It's a misconception. Here are some evidence-based facts. Again, this is from the American Psychiatric Association publishing. James L. Knoll, MD, and George D. Annis, MD, MPH. Evidence-based facts. Mass shootings by people with serious mental illness represent less than 1% of all gun-related homicides. In contrast, death by suicide using firearms count for the majority of yearly gun-related deaths. So that's suicides, different. The overall contribution of people with serious mental illness to violent crimes is only about 3%. So what about the other 97%? When these crimes are examined in detail, an even smaller percentage of them are found to involve firearms. So it's even less than 3% that has to do with guns. Laws intended to reduce gun violence that focus on a population representing less than 3% of all gun violence will be extremely low yielding. 3%. Less than. A law intended to reduce gun violence on a population representing less than 3% of all gun violence will be extremely low yielding, ineffective, and a waste of resources. Who are these 97 other percent? Who are these people? Perpetrators of mass shootings are unlikely to have a history of involuntary psychiatric hospitalization. Thus, databases intended to restrict gun access and establish gun laws that broadly target people with mental illness will not capture this group of individuals. If you do not seek out mental health treatment, if you have not gone to a psychiatric hospital, if you have not done something about the way you're, if there's nothing on record, there is no way that you will ever catch these people until after they have done. Okay, and this is only 3% of people who are mentally ill, as they say, mentally ill, mental health issues. So if we've got 20% of our population, out of that 20%, less than 3% of those people, it's a small group. Gun restriction laws focusing on people with mental illness perpetuate the myth that mental illness leads to violence, as well as the misperception that gun violence and mental illness are strongly linked. Stigma represents a major barrier to access and treatment of mental health issues, which in turn increases the public health burden. So I don't think I want to go seek out any kind of issues around my depression because I like to go hunting, and they're going to take my guns away. It's the problem. People who are anxious are not violent, necessarily. The problem with the issue around mass shootings is it is a horrific, shocking situation. More people, however, have already died this morning due to addiction and car accidents than a mass shooting. It's just that it's so shocking and violent. So, what do we know about people who engage in this type of behavior, who have a desire to kill as many people as possible? Those who commit, again, I'm still referring to the same article. Those who commit mass murders may use more than one means to achieve their goal. In other words, it could be guns, bombs, arson, booby traps, those kinds of things. And that shootings are actually a subset of mass murders. And mass murders are also a catastrophic but rare phenomenon. It's rare. It's just that it's so loud and violent. I had looked up, there have been mass killings all the way back in the United States since 1700s. I mean, this is not necessarily a new thing all of a sudden. Um, there has really not been all that much research done. However, there are some common factors for individuals who commit mass murders. And they include extreme feelings of anger, hate, and revenge. So, we just listened to a song. We have to be carefully taught. So we're not, empathy is something we can learn. If we don't learn empathy and we learn hate, we don't learn love, but we learn about revenge, it's not a mental health issue. It looks crazy, but it's not. So oftentimes, a mass murderer has a lack of an accomplice. They do it all by themselves. They don't share with anybody. It's very much like suicide. Oftentimes, someone who is suicidal, they don't talk about it. But there are some red flags, giving things away, you know, resolving issues, completing tasks that just always wanted to get that done. And yes, depression and some other things. Oftentimes, people who commit mass murders have a feeling of social isolation. And they plan this well in advance of getting their revenge. Oftentimes, they don't plan to survive and intend to either be killed by police, as they say, suicide by a cop, or to commit suicide after they have done their awful deed. Oftentimes, they were bullied or isolated during childhood and become loners. They feel despair over their isolation. They may demonstrate paranoid traits such as suspicion, holding grudges. Their worldview suggests a paranoid mindset. They believe others to be generally rejecting and uncaring. As a result, they spend a great deal of time feeling resentful and ruminating on past humiliations. So, in other words, they don't have good coping skills. And oftentimes, they are filled with fantasies of revenge. Another thing that's interesting is that oftentimes these shooters come from broken families, have no relationship with a father figure. They haven't signed up for mental health counseling. They're so filled with hate and the desire for vengeance that they don't think that they have a problem. So it kind of mirrors a little bit that, again, that antisocial personality disorder. But the problem with a personality disorder is most people with personality disorders don't know that they have them. Again, it's not like depression. Like, I know I'm feeling depressed, or I know I'm struggling with things. I know I'm having a panic attack. If I'm colorblind, I describe it this way. If I am colorblind, I can't see the color red. You can tell me, you know, that there's some red on this pen. You could tell me this is red. I don't see it. It's just more, the pen is gray, and that's just a different shade of gray. I don't see it. It's very hard to treat personality disorders. It's a disordered personality. Medication doesn't fix a disordered personality. It's not impossible, but it takes a lot of work on the counselor's part and a lot of a desire to change. A narcissist, the problem is never me, it's always you. I'm fine. It's a sad situation. The majority of people who do mass shootings acquire guns either from because they own them. No, I don't have any mental health issue. I'm not on the, you know, books anywhere. I'm not on the computer as having any kind of mental health issue. And I apply for a gun. They do a background check. Everything looks pretty good. And we say, what are we going to say? Well, if you come from a broken home, you can't get a gun. That's not appropriate. If you're depressed, no, that's not. It's not appropriate. If you're a loner, even that's not appropriate. So, you know, I want to do a background check. You have any friends? Not really. You ever feel depressed? Yeah, sometimes. Get anxious? A little bit. Did your parents get a divorce? Were you raised in a single family? Oh, yeah. Oh, no gun for you. You know how many people? I mean, just if you just think this alone, 78% is what I heard. 71 or 78% of people in African-American family groups are raised without a father. So we can't pigeonhole doesn't work. There are some biological factors, but again, it doesn't apply for everyone. So there's some possible brain pathology as well as psychiatric illness such as depression or psychosis. Psychological factors can include a negative or frail self-image, paranoid dynamics, retreat into violent and omnipotent revenged fantasies. And that sounds like a mental health issue, but there's no specific classification for that. Social factors include isolation, ostracizing from peers, absence of pro-social support, positive support, so there's a complex interaction of emotional turmoil, psychopathology, traumatic life events, and still, that doesn't mean that everyone in that category is dangerous. I think one of the I'd like to say, well, you know, what do people post on Facebook? Tell people you can't use the word hate? Well, that's not appropriate. I hate spiders. I hate bugs. So that would give me a red flag. It doesn't work. Someone maybe who is preoccupied with feelings of social persecution and fantasies of revenge against their tormentors. So maybe the indication of revenge. I'm so filled with hate that I have a plan of revenge. I know how I'm going to get back at that person. They hurt me, I know how I'm going to hurt them back. Strong feelings of revenge can come from social alienation or a sense of perceived injustice. Here's an example, same article. A 15-year-old who shot and killed his two parents, two high school students, and wounded 25 students in 1998 in Springfield, Oregon, suffered intolerable anguish over feelings of social rejection. His peers described him as morbid and preoccupied with violence. There may be other factors, such as severe depression. But it's not only, again, only 3% of mass shootings are related to mental health issues. Now, I'm not saying that any, like, there's, I would love to say there shouldn't be any. Long-standing paranoid and delusions, as well as hallucinations. There could be drug addiction involved. Think of Charles Manson. A lot of drug use. He was so completely antisocial personality disorder. You think of Jim Jones, who gave his follow. He was so charismatic. These two men, very charismatic. They had followers. And yet were also mass killers. These people are not necessarily depressed. They're not necessarily anxious. There may be a relationship between feeling the victim and the perpetrator. So I feel like a victim and I need revenge. So I think it's an interesting article. Suggesting that people with paranoid conditions, paranoid delusions, possibly some severe depression, possibly some psychosis, but resentment and revenge. Resentment and anger. I'm just looking at motives. Resentment and revenge. Resentment and revenge. It's a table that they have. I don't think that it's a mental health issue. Not that mental health does not have some part to play in it. I mean, when you have, my gosh, we've got a mass shooting. This is insane. It's insane. Hate to that extent where you're so isolated and focused on the object of your hatred is insane. It's so important. It's so important that we teach people to love each other, that we teach people empathy. Get off this thing. Get off of it. Spend some time. You got to do your homework. You want to contact your friends. Say, where do you want to meet up? Come over my house. Let's make eye-to-eye contact. Let's talk about empathy. Teach empathy. We can teach hate. We can teach love. It's not that hard. We are all human beings. We are all human beings. Our common language, it doesn't matter if you're in China, It doesn't matter if you are in the Congo. It doesn't matter if you are in Brazil. It doesn't matter if you are in America. The common language is emotion. If somebody is smiling, I know what they're feeling. If they're looking angry, I know what they're feeling. If they're crying, I know what they're feeling. Empathy and love. It's not that hard. It's actually easier. And if you think someone is dangerous, don't be afraid to report it. Don't be afraid. Anyway, I know I'm a little emotional here at the end. Again, I don't want us to classify people with mental health issues as dangerous. It's not true. And there are people out there that are filled with hatred and revenge. Those people are dangerous to the point where it drives them crazy. So I hope this was useful. And I will be back next week with Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamura Roll. If you want to find more information out about me, you can find me on the web at www.altarollcounselor.com. That's altaroll with two L's, counselor.com. And do your own research. It's a fascinating topic. And I will be back next week. I wish you all good mental health and practice love. Thank you.
Everybody over there,
get on up.
Everybody out there,
get into it.
Everybody right there,
get involved.
Everybody, you.
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When friends are not enough and you are struggling with depression, anxiety, or addictions, it's time to seek out help. Mental health is one of the most important building blocks to a healthy life. Tune into Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon and listen to many topics that pertain to good mental health. With Ruth Altamura Roll, a licensed professional counselor, as your host, you will learn about many facets of good mental health. Let's remove the stigma. Go to www.altarollcounselor.net for more information about my practice. And please follow me on Counselor's Chat on Facebook. Remember, Counselor's Chat every Wednesday at noon. I wish you good mental health.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Trump administration wants to hold migrant families in detention centers for the entire duration of their immigration proceedings. USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes reports from Washington.
Acting Homeland Security Chief Kevin McAleenan saying the current standards incentivize illegal entry. He cites a Supreme Court ruling known as the Flores Agreement, which currently limits the time families can be detained to 20 days.
This single ruling has substantially caused and continued to fuel the current family unit crisis and the unprecedented flow of Central American families and minors illegally crossing our border.
He says the proposed new rule will allow families to be detained together for longer and high standards to be implemented for the care of the families in custody.
Protests are continuing in Hong Kong as demonstrators are staging a sit-in at a train station. This is USA Radio News.
This is sponsored by Facebook. Nearly half of all Americans know someone who's affected by opioids. But according to the U.S. Surgeon General, only about a quarter of those with an opioid addiction get the treatment they need. All too often, it is the stigma and undeserving shame of opioid addiction that forces people to remain silent rather than seek help. In an effort to address the opioid epidemic and combat this stigma, Facebook, in partnership for Drug-Free Kids and Center on Addiction, created Stop Opioid Silence, a national public awareness campaign aimed at inspiring people to break the silence and share